All right, let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 for the message this morning. I'd like to preach for about 15 minutes this morning. I've never done that, but I'd like to do it someday. No, I want to share a thought with you. I trust will be an encouragement and a help to you today. I want to speak to you this morning on the subject of faithfulness. Faithfulness, and of course, familiar verse that I want to take my thoughts from. If you'll look at verse 1 of this fourth chapter, the Bible here says, "Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ," and what's the next word?
Stewards.
"Of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in" who?
Stewards.
Yeah. "It is required in stewards that a man be found successful." Yeah. It doesn't say that, does it?
No,
it says faithful. The Lord expects us to be faithful to Him. And I want to speak on that this morning, qualities of faithfulness. And let's ask the Lord to help us and then the message. Father, we love you this morning. Thank you for the beautiful music we have heard. Father, thank you for the baptism that we witnessed. And we just pray for this young man and ask you now to put your hand upon his life and guide him and direct him and help him as he grows and matures in the faith. And Father, I pray you'll bless his family. I pray you'll just be with Gavin and bless him during this time. Give him the strength he needs. And Father, heal his body, we pray. We also ask that you will bless now as we open your word and look at its truths. And Father, help us this morning to realize this matter of faithfulness and how important it is for us to be faithful in all things. So bless as I speak and bless our folks as they listen. And Father, may we feel and sense your presence and your rich blessing upon us today. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. You know, as a Christian, God sees us in different lights. All right, let's just take me for example. God sees me, when he looks at me, God sees me in different ways. He sees me as a son. I am a son of God. I'm a child of God. I am his. He is mine. We all are familiar with how that thought blessed the Apostle John. And all through the Gospel of John, he talks about being a child, being the son of God. And then God sees me also as a joint heir. A joint heir. I am a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Man, that's a tremendous thought. And what that means is that everything that the Lord Jesus is going to inherit one of these days, I'm going to share that with him. I'm going to be in on that. So praise the Lord for that blessed truth. I am a joint heir. You say, well, how'd you become a joint heir? Well, you did too if you know Christ as your Savior. And I'll tell you how you did it. You did it through adoption. All right? Through adoption. You were adopted into the family of God. And so as an adopted son, you inherit everything that that the Father has. Then, here's a good one for you. This is going to knock some of you out on the floor if you aren't careful. So let me explain it before you fall out on the floor. I don't want you to hurt yourself. So just hold on for a second. All right. God sees me as a priest. Wait a minute. He sees you as a priest too. Yeah. You don't need a priest. You are a priest. What's a priest? Well, that's somebody that has direct communication to God. All right? And you have that if you know Christ as your personal Savior. I told you when we lived in Chicago, I went to St. Edward's Hospital for a surgical procedure. And I had to go for the preoperative thing, you know, where they make sure your blood will clot and, you know, they ask you all these questions and take your blood pressure and your EKG and all that business. And they assigned this little teenage girl, looked like a teenage girl. She probably still had Barbie dolls at home. I'm not kidding you. She looked so young. And she was in there asking me all these questions and writing all this stuff down. And when she got down to the bottom of the page, she said, "Would you like to see a priest before your surgery?" And I said, "Oh, no, I don't need that." She goes, "Oh, well, we can provide." I said, "I don't need that." And then she kind of looked at me funny, you know, because, you know, St. Edward's Hospital. I didn't know Edward was a saint, but evidently there is one. And I went there because my doctor told me to go there. I didn't know. And so I'm sitting there, and she looked at me kind of sideways, like you don't want a priest? And I said, no, I don't want one. I am one. She went, "Oh, Father." I said, whoa, I ain't your father. Don't call me your father. And she looked at me again, kind of like, what is wrong with you? You know, and I had to explain to her that that only my three children call me father. And that really blew her mind, you know, because priests are not supposed to have children. And so if you have children, that presupposes that you have a wife. And they aren't supposed to be married either. And so it gave me a great opportunity to witness to her. Of course, she was so shocked, I'm not sure she heard a word that I said. But nonetheless, God sees us as a priest. Isn't that wonderful? I don't have to go and confess my sin to somebody else and let somebody else take my sins to God. No, I can take my sins directly to God. I'm a priest. Now, he's the high priest, and I am his a priest, nonetheless, under him. So he also sees me as a soldier, and you as a soldier. We are soldiers for the Lord. We're in the Lord's army, okay? And we are fighting a battle. Our enemy is the devil, and we're fighting in a spiritual battle that never stops. But then God also sees me and you as a servant. We are servants for the Lord Jesus. We are, he is the master, and we are the servant. And as a servant, I mean, regardless of which arena God looks at me, God expects me to be faithful. And he expects you to be faithful. It is, don't forget, required of stewards that a man be found faithful, and a woman too. All right, we are to be faithful as we serve the Lord. Now, listen, folks, success is not what I'm to strive for, and it's not what you're to strive for. You see, success is it's arbitrary. What one person may think is successful, another does not see it that way. All right? So you can't say, boy, I'm striving to be successful. No, strive to be faithful. God will see to it that you're successful if you're first faithful to him. Where do all our blessings come from? They come from the Lord. So if we're faithful to the Lord will see to it that we are successful in the endeavors that we undertake. So success is not what I'm to strive for as a servant of God. No, I am to strive daily to be faithful. The Bible tells us that God is always going to be faithful to us, does it not? Over and over and over, we are reminded how faithful God is. All through the Psalms, we're reminded that our God is faithful and that He will provide and He will bless. God is faithful and He will forgive. I mean, over and over and over and over, we're reminded in the Scriptures that our God is a faithful God. And so He turns and looks at us and says, listen, I'm faithful. I am never asleep. I never slumber. You don't have to worry about me ever just wandering off and being gone for weeks or months at a time. No, I'm faithful. I will always be there. It's comforting to me to know that in the middle of the night sometimes when I can't sleep, my mind is troubled, my heart is troubled, I can just simply say, Dear Heavenly Father, and it's almost like God just reaches down and grabs a hold of me and sets me right in front of His throne and says, Yes, son, what do you want? That's our access to God, folks. He's faithful. He'll always be there. Now, you may call me in the middle of the night, and please don't, but you might call me in the middle of the night, and I would answer the phone, and then you would hear stumbling and mumbling and dropping the phone and trying to find the light to turn on. What in the world's going on? You're not going to have that problem with God. No, He never sleeps. And never slumbers. So it doesn't matter where you are, what time of the day, what time of the year, what time of the week, you can pray and your Heavenly Father is right there. That's the God that we serve, folks. He's faithful. He's faithful to us. And now all He asks of us is that we be found faithful as well. Now, we never have to worry that God is going to be unfaithful to any single promise in His Word. I mean, every promise in the book is mine. Every one. And you need to realize that God is always, always going to be faithful to every promise that He gives in His Word. I told you folks that when I first got saved, my pastor said, read the Bible every day, every day. And he shook his Bible at me and he said, read your Bible every day. I said, yes, sir. Yes, sir. And so I set out to read my Bible every day. I couldn't get enough of the Bible. I just sat and read it. I would come home from school and read it. I would do my homework. Well, that's not true. You know, I don't ever remember doing homework, do you? My brother graduated magna cum laude from college. I graduated Lord how cum. You know? I mean, I never let studies interfere with my education. Never. Never. All right? You getting that? But I would sit up at night and read my Bible. Several times my mom would see the light on under my door. She'd come and open the door and say, honey, it's 11:30. You got to get up and go to school in the morning. Get to bed. I mean, I couldn't get enough. And when I went to college, I had a roommate who I watched him every morning. And he took these little colored pencils, all different colors, and would sit and color in his Bible. Mark verses in his Bible with colored pencils. And I asked him, I said, what are you doing? He said, well, red is for salvation. Anytime I read a verse that has to do with salvation, I color it red. Green is for Christian growth. Anytime I read a verse that has to do with growing, I use a green pencil and mark that and color in that verse. He said, blue is for inspiration for the Bible. And I mark it blue. And each color meant something. Purple was for the Holy Spirit. And gold was for the promises, the golden promises that God gives. And I set out to mark my Bible. That way I thought, wow, what an ingenious way to learn the Bible. Because you have to think as you read to know what your color to use. And I got several Bibles back in my office that are all color-coded. And I color-coded them. All right? And that's a good way to study the Bible. And you know, it's amazing when you take one of those Bibles and look at it, all the gold colors. Why? Because the Bible is full of golden promises. That's why. And God is never going to go back on a single one of the promises that He has made. Isn't that comforting to know? I think it is. So God is faithful, but it's a shame the same cannot be said of us. You see, we're not quite as faithful as we should be. God said that Abraham was faithful. The Lord said to the servant who had done well with what the master had given him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. God loves faithfulness among His people. So I want to speak this morning on some qualities of faithfulness. It's probably safe to assume that all faithful folks have several of the same qualities which characterize their lives. Faithfulness to God, faithfulness to their Bible, faithfulness to church, faithfulness to your family, to your wife, to your husband, faithfulness to your children, faithfulness to your job, faithfulness to your friends. Folks, listen, it is required of stewards, no matter who you are a steward for, to be faithful. Just be faithful. So let's think about that matter of faithfulness this morning. First of all, notice with me that a faithful Christian is dedicated to God. You're going to have to be dedicated to God if you're going to be faithful. You see, if you're going to be faithful, you can't be in one week and out the other week. You can't be up one week and down the next week. You can't be on top of the world one day and then down dragging in the gully the next day. No, we've got to be faithful to the Lord. What's the Bible tell us? Matthew 6:33. But seek ye what? First the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I think this must be the foundation upon which any and all faithfulness must be built. Folks, we've got to be dedicated to the God who redeemed our souls. We just need that faithfulness to the Lord. And how can any man be faithful to all the other people that we should be faithful to if first and foremost we are not faithful to God? Oh, we have to be faithful to our God. That's where it all begins. So faithfulness is needed in servants. Now, let me show you this from the scriptures, all right? There's a biblical example or illustration of this. Go back in your Bible to the book of 2 Kings for just a moment. 2 Kings and chapter 4. Second Kings chapter 4. Now go down with me, please, to the 8th verse. And I'll tell you, I'll fill you in on the story here in just a moment. All right? But we can kind of get the idea just from reading a couple of verses here. All right, let's start at verse 8. The Bible says, and is everybody there? I'm sorry. I want you to see this, so I'm waiting on you. Everybody good? If you got it, say amen. Amen. All right, let's begin. Look at verse 8. And it fell on a day that Elisha, now remember, Elisha is the prophet of God. He took Elijah's place, remember? All right, so Elisha passed to Shunem. We will probably drive past Shunem when we go to Israel in October, probably. And if we do, I'll point it out to you. You don't blink, you'll miss it. All right, it's that small. But it says that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. Now, that what that means is she saw the man of God. She knew that he was the man of God. And so she said, would you like something to eat? And this became routine. This became something regular. Okay, this was a regular thing that was happening. So look, please, she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither for lunch to eat bread. All right, you see that? So, you know, the preacher knows where the good cooking is. Amen. You know that a preacher's belt is a leather fence around a chicken graveyard. You realize that, right? Yeah. All right, look at verse 9. It says, and she, the woman, said to her husband, behold, now I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber. Now watch this carefully. Let's make a little chamber. Now what she said there, let's build a room onto the house. Let's build a little room onto the house. That's what she's saying. Let's build a little room onto the house. Why? Well, let us set for him there, watch, number one, a bed. Number two, a table. Number three, a stool. And number four, a candlestick. And it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in thither. Now, don't you find it strange that God's Holy Spirit went into such detail here? What's the big deal? Why couldn't he have just said, this woman said to her husband, let's build an addition to the house so the man of God can stay there when he wants to. But no, the Spirit makes sure that we understand that she said, in the room, we're going to put a couple of things. We're going to put a bed. We're going to put a table. We're going to put a stool. And we're going to put a candlestick. Huh. Wonder why that's there. I started looking to see what others had to say about it. And they just, for some reason, just whew, blew right over it. So I thought, wow, that's got to be there for a reason, doesn't it? So let's consider why it's there. We're talking about faithfulness, folks. And notice, let's build this addition. And we're going to put four things in it. A bed, a table, a stool, and a candlestick. The bed is a picture of the rest that is found in Christ. Folks, if you and I are going to be faithful, we're going to have to rest in Christ. I mean, just lay back in the arms of our Savior and let him give us that rest we need for our souls. You can't go 110 miles an hour all day, every day, and not wear out. Come aside, rest a little. Even the Lord Jesus rested. You read all the time, and he went away into a mountain and rested. He took the inner circle of his disciples and rested. He told the disciples, go ye and rest a while. Did not the Bible say that on the seventh day of creation, God rested? He rested. Folks, rest is important. That's why we go to sleep at night. That's why we have to go to sleep, don't we? I mean, if you don't go to sleep, you're grouchy. We can't stand you. All right? So we have to get our rest, don't we? I think it's amazing. The bed is a picture of the rest that is found in Christ. Now, question, where in Christ do we find rest? Well, let's hold your place here, of course, and go to the book of Matthew for just a moment. Matthew chapter 11, Matthew's Gospel chapter 11. And let me read you what the Lord said about this matter of rest. All right, look at chapter 11, verse 28 and 29. All right, again, I'll wait on you. See, I know where I'm going. I can get there for you. All right, everybody got it? All right, let's look at verse 28 and 29. Look at it. Come unto me, Jesus said, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you a test. No, it doesn't say that, does it? No, he's going to give us rest. Rest for our souls. Now look at this. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. The picture here is of a yoke. And the Lord Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. You know, if you just have your yoke, it's hard for you to pull your burdens around. It's difficult for you to pull your own burdens around. You're going to get weary. I can remember my grandfather going around Cold Fork and borrowing these great big Clydesdale horses to plow his garden with. And he would put a double harness on those horses, great big leather things that he put over top of their heads. And you could just see the tension on the reins and on that harness when he got them going and pulling that plow into the dirt. But man, did the dirt fly out from around that plow. And listen, if you only had one, that horse would get tired. My grandfather had a 3-acre garden. And so that if you only had one, that horse would get tired. Not only that, if you only had one, you'd have to work harder to keep him in a straight line. But then you bring the two together, and now two are pulling, and it's easy. And they just pull away, and in no time the garden was plowed. And folks, if we have our burdens around our necks and we're striving to carry our own burden, we're going to get weary in well-doing. But here comes the Lord and says, wait a minute, let me get in the yoke with you. Let me help you. And he slides in beside of us. And now it's a whole lot easier to plow the field, isn't it? Oh, how we need to just rest in the Lord. Just rest in the Lord. Rest is found as we are serving and working and being a husband and being a father and being a mother and being a wife. I mean, serving is where it's all about. But faithfulness is what makes it all work. Amen. Amen. So we do not work alone. We work with the Lord. We rest in the Lord. Second thing that's here is a table. Table. Now, you can see the picture in a table, can't you? I mean, what do we do at the table? We sit down and we eat and we fellowship. I mean, everybody likes to eat, don't they? Don't you like to eat? I don't know about you, but I was born hungry. I really was. Huh? Sure, we all like to eat, don't we? And we all like to fellowship. Man, there's nothing like just getting your family around the table and enjoying your family and enjoying the things of the Lord and the food that's provided. There's nothing like that. Psalm 23, David said, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." In John 21, in verse 12, the Lord Jesus told his disciples, "Come and dine. Come and dine. The table is ready. The table is spread. Come and dine." And so all of us are bidden to come to the table. I dare say that every one of us enjoys a good meal with friends and family. And we all enjoy, for example, Thanksgiving and Christmas dinner and all the things that go with that. I mean, there is nothing like good old family fellowship together around the table. You just can't beat it. You just can't beat it. The hymn writer said, "Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites his chosen people, come and dine. Come and dine." Folks, there's a table that the Lord has prepared. You want to be faithful? Get to the table and fellowship with your Lord. I mean, just get where you say, "Pastor, how do I do that?" Right here. Right here. And how do I do that? Right here. Right here. Did y'all know we're going to do this tonight again at 6? Yeah. We really are. Tonight at 6, we're going to have church again. Yeah. And then Wednesday night, we're going to have church again. Yeah. I mean, that's fellowship. That's enjoying being around the Lord. And that's where faithfulness is created, when we are around the table with the Lord. We're resting in the Lord. We're feasting with the Lord. The song goes on, "With his manna he doth feed and supplies our every need. Oh, 'tis sweet to sup with Jesus all the time. Come and dine, come and dine. The master calleth, come and dine. We may feast at Jesus' table all the time." That's breakfast, lunch, and dinner, folks. And a midnight snack. Amen. "So he who fed the multitude, turned the water into wine, to the hungry calleth now, come and dine." Are you hungry? Get in your Bible. Just scoot the chair up to the table of the Lord and let God feed you from his word. Amen. Then thirdly, there's a stool. The stool. Say, "Well, what? Why would a stool be in there?" Well, here's kind of what I thought the picture would be. The stool is a symbol of instruction. It's a symbol of instruction. Notice, instruction as let's say, sit at his feet. All right. Just sit at his feet and listen as he speaks to our heart. Back in May, I preached to the graduating seniors from Carroll Christian School, and I challenged them to seek God's wisdom. I challenged them that right here, the Bible is the mind of God. Right here is wisdom, right here in this book. David said, "I have more understanding than all my teachers." Wow, isn't that awesome? You have more understanding? David said, "I have more understanding than all my teachers." Why? Because I love thy word. I love thy word. Oh, there's nothing like just knowing the Bible, learning the Bible. Sit at the feet of the Lord and just learn of him. And the Bible says in Deuteronomy 33:3, "Yea, he loveth the people, all his saints are in thy hand, and they sat down at thy feet, every one shall receive of thy words." Folks, if you sit down with an open Bible, you are going to receive the words from the Lord. He's going to speak to your heart. The Bible, remember, never returns void. You remember in Luke chapter 10 that Martha was cooking in the kitchen, And Mary was sitting in another room at the feet of Jesus. Martha's in there slaving away. And she looks in and there's Mary sitting there while she's slaving in the kitchen. She's upset. She's thinking, man, why in the world? Why in the world is she sitting in there when there's stuff to be done in here to prepare for the meal? And so she finally took all she could take and she got up and she came and complained. And she said, Lord, I'm working my fingers to the bone in here and Mary is just sitting here at your feet listening to you. I need some help in here. Can't she come in and help? And the Lord looked at her and said, Martha, Martha, you worry too much. You're just too careful. You worry. You're too anxious. That's what that means. You're just too concerned with temporal things. Folks, what is eating? It's temporal. How many of you ate a little something this morning? Just a little something. All right. Yeah, 99% of you. All right, let me ask you this. How many of you are going to eat after church? Raise your hand. 100% of you. Yeah, that's what I thought. Sure. It's temporal. I mean, what we eat, that's temporal. And Jesus said, Martha, you are concerned with all this temporal stuff, but your sister, she is concerned about eternal things. You know, pull the pot off the stove. That can wait. Sit here and learn from me. Oh my, what a great lesson that was. And then the last thing was the candlestick. The candlestick. And this, I think, is a picture of our testimony for the Lord. Are we not to let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven? Sure. Our light is to shine. The Bible says that you and I, as believers, are the light of the world. Oh, he said he's the light of the world, but as he's in us, we are now the light of the world. You see, Christian, the Lord is depending upon each and every one of us to testify of him. One of the first things that you do when you sign up and take the Soul Winners Club, one of the first things you do is you develop a testimony. It's brief, it's concise, and you memorize it. You know it frontwards and backwards. Why? Because that is your light. You're going to tell that testimony when you're leading someone to Christ. You're going to stop before you ever go into the scriptures of the book of Romans, and you're going to share your own light, your own testimony. Folks, we need that light to shine. The Lord said clearly, we're the light of the world. And if we are going to be faithful people, we are first going to have to be dedicated to the Lord. And as we're dedicated, we got to pull aside sometimes and find a little rest. That rest comes from the Lord. We got to pull aside and sit down at the table and just feast upon him and his word. We've got to sit on the stool and just absorb his teaching and get his mind in our minds. We are sitting there absorbing the things of the Lord. And then last, we are to let our light shine. You want to be a faithful Christian? Let your light shine. Let your light shine. I've told you folks that I've only been witness to one time in my life. One time. Just once. I'm 68, almost 69 years old. And only one time has anybody ever taken the time to witness to me. Now, I got saved in church. And I guess that was a witness. But I'm talking layman. And only one time has a layman walked up to me and asked me, if I died today, do you know where you'd spend eternity? Once. Folks, if we don't do this matter of letting the light shine, who will? Who will? I tell you who will do it. Jehovah's Witnesses. I tell you who will do it. The Mormons. You see, they know door-to-door works. They know it works. That's why they do it. That's why they do it. I've been witnessed to once. I wonder, how many times have you witnessed for the Lord? Folks, let's be faithful to Him. Let's bow our heads, please. Father, thank you so much for your wonderful word, and I pray you'll bless this to our hearts. Father, we thank you for the picture here. What a beautiful picture. That little gal from Shunem said, let's build a little room onto the house here. And the man of God can stay in it whenever he wants. And she said, we just need to make sure we put a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick in there. Boy, what a beautiful picture. It's almost like she knew what it takes to be a faithful servant of the Lord. And these items need to be brought over into our lives today. And Father, help us to rest in you. Help us to learn of you. Father, help us to feast at your table. Oh, Father, give us a burdened heart to be faithful in these last days. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.